Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-245-4237, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please call, hold your calls. Well, and I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say right now we don't seem to be able to find our regularly scheduled guests, so we may have to have you call in here. If you have any question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. So give us a call, and we'd love to hear from you, because I suspect it's going to be open lines. And I don't have anything prepared, so let's talk to you just a little bit about, what's going on back at the investigations in Washington, D.C. And, of course, as you know, the Senate Investigating Committee has had a number of people come in to testify. Now, most of the sessions are in closed door. Now, I don't know why they should be closed door, not open to the public, but maybe they don't want Sheikh Omar to find out, or maybe they don't want Muhammad Atta or any of the wicked terrorists who bombed the World Trade Center or the Pentagon to find out what we know about them. Or the only other alternative is they don't want the American people to know the truth. Now, the administration has done everything they could to block an independent investigation, and although they've said, all right, you can go ahead and do it, why they're putting every barrier in the way. The current investigation was to be held for a very, very short period of time. All of the information was to come from the Central Intelligence Agency now to make sure that the American people didn't get the truth about what happened. And I will say that Eleanor Hill, who, of course, is running this committee, has done an excellent job. Initially, it was to be headed by a member of the CIA, a retired member of the CIA, to try to determine if the CIA had anything to do with what had happened. But fortunately, the senators had the good sense to fire the CIA official, although most of the work had done and most of the information had been gathered. So Eleanor Hill came in sort of at the last minute. And, of course, you really need to get her testimony. We have her testimony and much of the other testimony available through Radio Liberty. Now, as a member of the press, I called the committee in Washington, D.C., and I said, look, I would like to I'd like to get the testimony that's been given in open session, and as a member of the press, will you send it to me? Well, the first woman said, yes, we'll be glad to send it to you. And let's see now, there have been five testimonies, and there'll be another one tomorrow. We'll send it all out to you tomorrow. And you know, tomorrow never came. I gave her my name and address. So then I called about a week to 10 days ago, and I once again repeated the request, and they said, oh, well, we don't have most of it. It's already been given out, but we'll send you what we have, and we'll get it off today. But today never came. And so we called, and we asked for their website, and they gave us a website. If you went to that website, you would never find anything at all about what had happened in the investigation. Now, this could be, of course, just government inefficiency, or it could be a very conscious cover-up. Fortunately, we have, by other means, gotten the complete testimony. And, of course, this morning on my ACN program, I actually read the remarks of her name was, I think, Christine Brumeister, something very, very similar to that. And I'll try to, as best I can, tell you what she said. Because, of course, her husband was killed on September 11th, and of course he had called her. He was in the South Tower, and as she said, you know, he was probably, when he called me to reassure me and to tell me how much he loved me and that he was perfectly all right, he was probably looking out at the other tower where people were jumping out of the building, men and women jumping out of the building to escape the horror of being incinerated alive. And then she said she wondered whether, you know, he had been consumed in the fire, or maybe he had been crushed. They did find his arm, and on it was his wedding band. And she commented that she was wearing that wedding band. She would wear his wedding band on her right hand all the rest of her life till the day she died. And then she talked about the background of the attack on the World Trade Center. And she said, you know, of course, the high officials, Condoleezza Rice, had said, we could never have imagined, of course, that there would be an attack on the World Trade Center. I mean, we never thought that they would use airplanes as bombs at all. Why, this was the furthest thing from our mind. And yet, of course, the woman who's testifying said, but you know, in 1991, why, the Pentagon had spent $150,000 on a study about using airplanes to crash them into buildings. And then she went on into Operation Pajinka, which was, of course, in the Philippines. And one of the stipulations, one of the parts of that was to hijack our planes and crash them into the World Trade Center. And then she talked about the fact that it was known in 1994 that this is one of their plans, that a group of Islamic radicals had hijacked a plane in Algiers and flown it to Marseille, and their plan was to crash the plane into the Eiffel Tower. And she talked about so many other instances where it was known that they were going to hijack our airplanes and crash them into our buildings, how in 1998 there had been a plan to hijack a plane and full of explosives and crash it into the World Trade Center, that a plane had actually been intended to crash into the White House, and instead it had crashed into a tree in the White House a lot. And, of course, to say that there was no idea, not even the slightest concept, this could happen, she said it wasn't true at all. They were not telling the American people the truth. Well, let's go to Fred right now, calling in from Salinas. Hi, Fred. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, good afternoon. I just wanted to tell you about I was watching C-SPAN, like, last Thursday night, and the congressman that has, you know, there's a congressman that has, or a senator that has just one arm left. He's,
Is that the senator Inouye?
No, it's Waxel.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
Anyway, he was holding a hearing, and it was about the, you know, we've been listening to how bad we thought Saddam Hussein was with all the VX and the sarin gas and all the gases and stuff that he has, and biological agents. And he was holding a hearing that a lot of the veterans had been trying to get a hearing with the VA to...
Fred, you're going to have to hold that, just hold that, because we're going to have to go to a break here. I got so interested in what you were saying, but right now, of course, I want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty, of course, is offering, or hopes to many of you, if you are run down or you're going to want to get some Be Alive Royal Jelly. I've personally taken this product for a number of years. I've taken it for about 10 years, and Be Alive Royal Jelly, people came to us and said, can we... sponsor you for a month. And so we agreed, and of course the product is something you take on a daily basis. You can get it. If you want more information, call 866-235-7500. That's 866-235-7500. It's sold with a money-back guarantee, and if you take it for 3 months and you're not entirely satisfied and you do not feel you have more energy and you feel better, they'll refund your money. They've got a lot of products. Be Alive Royal Jelly, I think you'll be very, very pleased with their products. And then, of course, I want to mention we're putting together a new four-tape set. It's called The Skull and Bones, and it's four interviews. Really give you an excellent overview of what the Skull and Bones Society is about. We have a new book. It's actually a book we've carried for a long time, entitled The American Establishment, written by Professor Sutton. But now we have it in a hardback, and it's $5 more than the softback, but it's an excellent book, and it's got a new forward, and it's got a list of all the people in the Skull and Bones up to about 1986. So if you'd like, of course, to get either the four tape set on Skull and Bones or the new book, The American Establishment, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, and if you're out there, our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up, so it's just you and me. It's open lines. Our telephone number, 464-8295, here in the Central Coast of California. That's 464-8295, or out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-245-4237. Or if you're calling from other countries, it's 831-464-8295. That's 831-464-8295. But right now, go ahead, Des. We've got Fred from Salinas. Hi, Fred.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just wanted to bring the subject of these hearings that they were having about during the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, how our Pentagon used American Navy and Army forces to as guinea pigs in sarin and VX gas experiments.
Oh yeah, we actually have
and,
that's very, very true. And I mean, no concern at all for the health of our boys. They were human guinea pigs. But then they've done that with the public as well with the vaccines, you know.
They also was talking about a problem that they had down in Florida, where they were setting up experimental fields, wheat fields down there, to try and develop a virus of some kind to be able to kill off the Russian wheat fields. And it's still got that ground contaminated down there to this day.
Amen to that.
Where they did that. But I don't know, maybe some of your other listeners can talk about it, because I never heard any follow-up on any news broadcast of any place about these hearings that they had on that.
Well, actually, we have some of the articles on that, and much of that is covered in the what we call the Rockefeller Committee report that talks about some of these macabre experiments that have been done on American citizens without their knowledge or consent. And, you know, the frightening thing, Fred, is nobody is ever held responsible for these horrible experiments or for the wars, the senseless wars that are created. The only thing you have people, Robert McNamara sends our boys over to Vietnam to fight and bleed and suffer and die, knowing full well we were never there to win, knowing full well that we were financing, the Russians were financing the North Vietnamese. Vietnam was simply fought to change America, and it certainly did. And, of course, the war we're going into is being fought to change America, not to defeat Saddam Hussein, who we have kept in power. We kept him in power in 1991. We kept him in power in 1993 when the Iraqi military wanted to overthrow him. And, of course, they foolishly went to the Americans and asked them if we would back them. And instead, why we turned their names over to Saddam, he captured the military leaders and tortured them to death. The same thing happened again in 1995. And if you're out there in the audience and you don't believe it, the book See No Evil by Robert Baer, who actually was the station chief for the CIA in Kurdistan in northern Iraq in 1995. And then you wonder why there's nobody in Iraq who wants to overthrow Saddam Hussein now. But now we're going to send American boys over there to die to overthrow him when the Iraqis wanted to get rid of him, and they would have gotten rid of him. But, of course, the people who trusted America died. And the same thing happened in 1991. The President of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush, promised the people of Kurdistan and the people, the Shia Muslims living in the south of Iraq, that if they would rise up, we would come in and protect them. And they believed him. Oh, how stupid can you be?
And, of course, they died because they believed him. And they rose up, and we abandoned them to their fate. Anything else you wanted to say, Fred?
No, that's all. I was just kind of really concerned why the news people have never touched into this.
Because the news is controlled. The media is controlled. And, you know, I have to read 5 or 6 newspapers every day. And we found, I think, probably in the Washington Times, some reference to exactly what you're talking about. So you're absolutely right.
Well, thank you. Have a good day.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Well, let's go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown. How are you doing, Roger?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Stan. Thanks. I'd be very much interested in your opinion. I haven't heard anyone... Sorry.
You've got right. Terrible static
okay.
there,
yeah,
Roger.
I fixed it up. I haven't heard anyone analyze this bombing the island of Bali. There was almost 200 people killed. And that's a pretty sophisticated bomb there, it seems to me. And there's something that doesn't resonate other than that something's rotten in Denmark. And let's say, hypothetically, I'm an Al-Qaeda terrorist. Would I bomb an area that's almost exclusively Hindu? And somehow this has...
No, wait a minute. Is Bali Hindu or is it Muslim?
Well, that's what they said on the news account. It's almost exclusively Hindu, unlike other parts of Indonesia
right.
that have heavy Muslim populations.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, isn't that very interesting? So I'm thinking, other than to galvanize the world against Al-Qaeda in particular, what would be the possible rationale for this particular bombing, and it totally escapes me.
Well, other than the fact that the Muslims hate the Hindus, and we see all sorts of terrorist attacks on the Hindus in India today, and I can't necessarily see anything here that other than the end result of the monster that we created. And people don't understand there wasn't any major Islamic radical movement prior to 1979. Yes, there's the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, but it really had very little following. And it wasn't until we, of course, precipitated the war in Afghanistan, and we overthrew the Shah of Iran and brought the radical Ayatollah Khomeini to power, that we really had an international terrorist movement. We, of course, intentionally and purposely toppled the Shah. We intentionally began financing the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, which, of course, precipitated the Soviet invasion, and then we had a war. And then we began bringing Muslims from throughout the world, and we indoctrinated them in this radical form of the Wahhabism, the idea that it's wonderful to die for Allah, and of course the only way you're sure to go to heaven is to die killing the infidels, and then you get to go to paradise with 70 virgins, and you believe this sort of foolishness, and of course you believe that Allah gave you the victory in Afghanistan, and that Allah is on your side, and Allah wants all of these Muslim regimes. And then, of course, Osama bin Laden, who incidentally had, his family is very close to the Bush family through the Carlyle Corporation, and of course, Osama bin Laden had worked for the CIA and was financed by the CIA, and in my opinion has been protected by the CIA because there's no other way that he could have escaped repeatedly when there were efforts to entrap him or capture him. And, of course, Osama bin Laden forms al-Qaeda from all of these Muslim terrorists that we had fought, taught, you know, how to use explosives and terrorist techniques, and a lot of them were even trained here in the United States. And this movement was conceptualized in about 1986 and organized in between 86 and 1988. And then these people were sent out all over the world to overthrow the existing governments, and bring into power these idealistic Muslim states. So we created the Muslim movement, and if you doubt that, you need to get my latest newsletter, the September newsletter, and we simply give you the documentation how we created the best enemy American tax money could buy.
Yeah, it just struck me that for an Islamic terrorist, it'd make more sense to bomb a more contested area of Indonesia where there's a possibility of wresting control. There's no possibility of that in this area, yes?
But terrorism is always carried out to create fear in people's hearts, and of course also to get a counter reaction from the government. And as the government then becomes more authoritarian, why then the people tend to turn against the government. That's how terrorists work. And of course, how is the terrorist movement in the United States doing? Why now our government is putting in all sorts of draconian laws to take away our freedom. Only maybe that's what was always intended. Maybe that's the real reason for this whole war on terrorism. So in the name of fighting terrorism, we will lose our freedom. Anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, it just makes me question who was actually directly responsible for this bombing. It may not be Muslims at all. That was my thought. God bless.
All right, God bless you too. And let's go to Jim calling. Hi, Jim. Where are you calling from?
From Massachusetts.
Okay, do you have a question or comment?
It's a comment on the tarot card serial sniper.
All right, fine. What's your take on it?
Is it entirely possible that this person is a professional killer who's been hired, say, by one of the agents of the global elite, in order to engender the public to a more invasive, intrusive surveillance in a gunless society?
All right. Well, anything is possible, but let me run another idea by you. This international elite is satanic. And, of course, this whole thing is satanic. If you look at the pattern of the first six murders there in the Washington, D.C. area, they are an inverted broken cross. And the old peace sign. In fact, if you've heard my interviews with David Bay, and we'll be having him again on this week, he had put this up on his website, and some of the satanic websites, at least one of them, agree with that. In other words, they acknowledge this whole thing is satanic. That's what the significance of the tarot cards, and most of these serial killers are satanic. Yes, the global elite will use them. There is, for instance, do you remember the story of David Berkowitz, the Son of Sam killer?
Yes, I do.
You know that David Berkowitz, of course, has admitted, well, we're going to have to take a break. If you want to hang on, this is a fascinating story.
Oh, yes,
okay,
please.
Well, we'll be right back here in just a moment. But right now, of course, I want to mention to our listeners some of the items that we carry. And one of them certainly is the Phenopoly set. If you have children or grandchildren in a government school, why the best Christmas present you could give them would be something that would teach them to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, that is known as a Phenopoly. It's designed by Murdoch Culbraith, who designed initially the phonics game. It will teach in about 16 to 20 hours children to be able to read. I mean, it's an amazingly easy thing to do. And, of course, it's right here on the Phenopoly set. 16 to 20 hours, the children will begin to read and spell and think phonetically. And you can play the game right along with them. You'll learn a lot. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for a Phenopoly set. A wonderful, wonderful Christmas present. And another excellent present would be a program for homeschooling, to take children from grammar school all the way to high school graduation, and for $199.95 for the entire 12 years of education. You get the tests, you get the lesson plans, you get the textbooks. The only thing you have to buy independently are the Saxon math textbooks. That's the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. And again, it's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then if you're run down and you feel that you need additional energy, let me recommend to you the Be Alive Royal Jelly products. I've actually used these myself, and my wife has as well for the last 10 years, 8 to 10 years. The product, well, call them at 1-866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500. It's sold with a money-back guarantee. And I'm convinced you'll be happy with it. Well, let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study. And it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated. They were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis.
call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest didn't show up, so it's open lines, and if you'd like to give us a call, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-245-4237, 1-888-245-4237, and here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But right now we have Jim on the line, and Jim is asking, you know, if this type sniper could be employed by a global elite, maybe to justify gun collection. And I was going to tell the story of David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, and of course the story we had actually the author of a book called The Ultimate Evil that goes into the son of Sam slayings. Now, David Berkowitz, of course, did commit a couple of the murders, but there were about 8 murders. He didn't commit most of them. They were committed by other members of the secret satanic cell that he belonged to. And the police knew about that. They just let them get away with it because I suspect, although the author of the book doesn't get into that, but they work within the police force as well. And, of course, there was a son of Sam. Of course, you remember the story. Sam was supposedly the dog, and he was getting instructions from the dog. He just made that up. The real thing was that there was a Sam, and he had 2 sons, and they were involved in this satanic cult. It was called The Process, and it was part of an international satanic cult. And, of course, the Madsen Clinic, the killings tied into that, and Manson had actually been in touch with The Process. This secret society is out there. There are all sorts of secret satanic cults all throughout the world, but this one is described in this fascinating book, The Ultimate Evil. Have you ever heard that story before, Jim?
Yes, I believe you had the guest on, and I did hear it a few weeks ago when
right.
He was on.
I thought that was fascinating, and so, you know, if this this could be an independent nut, Satanist, admittedly, or he could be part of one of these international satanic cults. The fact that he left a tarot card, that the pattern on the ground, and you look at the map, and you can go to David Bay's website, it's called cuttingedge.org, and you'll actually see the pattern there of the inverted cross. Anything else?
Other than to point out, I believe I read somewhere, too, that Charles Manson, because he was part of the Process Church, they will fuse opposites together. At one time he was telling his followers that he was Christ, and another time he was telling them he was Satan.
Well,
it was all one and the same as far as he was concerned.
Right.
You know?
And he did have supernatural power. I remember reading about one of the girls who worked with him, and he was saying, well, now I'm going to sit here on the curb, and I'm going to think, and somebody's going to come here and offer me some money, a dollar, a quarter, or 50, I don't know what it was. And all of a sudden, somebody comes up, taps him on the shoulder, and says, let me give you some money. And of course, that was pretty convincing to this young, impressionable girl. Here was a man who, with his mind, could control others. Well, of course you can when you're demonically possessed. And these people are demonically possessed. And this whole spiritual battle is very real. It's not imaginary at all. And the tragedy is that our churches aren't telling that. Our ministers are not telling people. They're not explaining that this whole move towards world government is towards Satan's one world government. And they tell their parishioners, oh, God's in control. Well, God is ultimately in control, but right now he's letting us, you know, do what we should be doing. He has given us the opportunity to stand for righteousness or to stand for nothing. And the great tragedy of today is most Christians stand for absolutely nothing. And they will tell you God's in control, but they're not going to get out and drive their car at 150 miles an hour on the freeway. They're not going, of course, to go to an alligator park and jump in the pool with the alligator. I mean, it'd be stupid like that. And believe me, most of the people who tell you God's in control still have health insurance and life insurance.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. All right. Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
Fine. Thank you. And, of course, I believe God is sovereign. I believe that he can intervene anytime he wants to. But he's left it up to us, and what sort of a job have we done with this wonderful country, this freedom that he gave us here in the United States? And, of course, it's been lost because the Christian church has lost its vision.
Well, we've got, is it Lone? What's your name?
It's Lane.
Lane, okay, fine. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from San Diego area. I wanted to call to express my disappointment with this H.R. 4633.
All right, well, what is that now?
It's where, you know, they're hooking in the biometrics and microchips into the driver's license, and it was shot down not too long ago, and it's coming back up again.
Well, it's sort of like a phoenix. It keeps coming back again.
Yeah, it keeps coming back again, and they know a lot of us don't want it. It's very anti-American. It's anti-patriotic. And I can't believe it just keeps coming back. This time it's coming back, you know, under the 4633, where the states would be required to get their driver's license hooked onto the national ID, and it's going to have all kinds of stuff, your credit report and everything. And I just don't think it's anybody's business, you know, my credit report or my medical problems, especially medical problems, especially like a woman, if she has a miscarriage, you don't want people to know that. It's very personal, you know, it's a very painful thing. And stuff like that, you know, you don't want that.
They want to take away all privacy, and they want to take away your financial privacy, your medical privacy. Already, every time you use a credit card, all of this information is stored somewhere in a computer bank. I mean, everything you do, everything you buy, your emails are being read. Your faxes are being read. I mean, they've done this under Echelon before illegally, and now they're going to be able to do it illegally by the FBI, and they're going to be able to get, under this new USA Patriot Act, they're going to be able to get warrants to do this. But it doesn't have to have anything to do with Islamic terrorism, because they've redefined terrorism. And people have to understand that everything that has happened since September 11th was designed not to fight Islamic terrorism. It was to take the freedom away from the American people. Do you take my newsletter?
Yeah, you send it to me.
All right, fine. Well, then the latest newsletter, the September newsletter, going out tomorrow. We're a little late. You'll find it fascinating, because we just tie everything together and show you how the terrorist attack is being used to get this legislation through, which is aimed at destroying the freedoms which we inherited from past generations.
Yeah, and we keep fighting this, and they just keep bringing it back around. And it looks like to me they're just going to pound it until it goes through. And I'm not going to take it.
The thing that you can do is try to get other people listening. Try to get them to understand that freedom is lost when good people do nothing. And behind what's going on are those sinister, satanic forces that are not imaginary, they're real.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you
God
very
bless
much.
You. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, let's go to Richard calling. Hi, Richard. Where are you calling from?
This is Richard from Miami, Dr. Sam.
Okay, Richard from Miami. Haven't heard from you in a little while. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah. I'm still listening. I just wanted to point out that, you know, this is bomb in Indonesia. The headline on America Online reads, "Worst attack since 9/11. See, that's a subliminal message right there to saying, okay, this is a war on terror, so it doesn't matter where in the world it is. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right. Well, they're playing games with our minds. You have to understand that. And I'm sure that terrorists are doing it, but who is protecting the terrorists? Where is their money coming from? And, of course, nobody ever really wants to answer that.
I like, Alex really hammers the message. I mean, anybody that's not in favor of world government is going to end up being a terrorist.
Amen to that. And, of course, what they've already said, and anybody who hasn't seen that FBI report that was circulated in Phoenix in 1999, that you can tell a terrorist and you should report them to the Joint Terrorism Task Force. You know, they talk about the Constitution. They want to limit the power of government. And, of course, they may be a doomsday individual, you know, like they may believe these are the end times. Now, it doesn't say that, but that's what is really inferred. And if you, of course, have seen Alex's video, on the 911 attack, he has a bit of footage in there from FEMA where they're getting together all these people and saying the real terrorists are the Christians.
The quicker we realize this, the better off we all are.
Amen to that. I agree with you. But people have to understand, of course, that going into this war, and what really bothers me more than anything is so many good people are supporting it. without ever stopping and realizing that all of these wars are manipulated, every war of the last century. And, of course, the wars of the closing part of the 19th century, the Boer War, the Spanish-American War, all manipulated by the same people.
You know, Dr. Stan, I think in the Christian community, the biggest, we have two serious problems, and the combination of both of them spell chaos. And what I mean is these two doctrines. Number one, you know, you got this prosperity gospel thing. Oh, you know, God is going to bless you, and I mean, that's not always the case. And then you mix that with, oh, we're going to be out of here when trouble comes.
I know. And of course, what happens if you're not? What happens if the Lord returns 30 years after America's fallen? What are you going to say to your children then?
Yeah,
what are you going to say to your wife or family?
We are not prepared for hard times.
Well, they're coming, and all we can do is stand up like the watchman on the wall described in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33 and say, hey, look what's happening. God bless you. Thanks
God,
so much.
God bless.
Bye-bye. And we've got Steve calling from Orange. Hi, how are you doing, Steve?
Oh, just fighting a little bug there.
All right, fine. Are you still trying to wake people up down there in the Orange County?
Yes, I am, but they're not... they don't want to deal with the facts.
Well, but who wants, you see, Steve, it's like when a doctor tells a patient they have a cancer, and the first thing is denial.
Right, right.
And the second thing is anger.
Right.
And the third stage is depression, and the fourth stage is commitment. What we've got to do is convince them, and they're all in denial.
Get them to the fourth stage.
Right. Well, that's your job, and if you can get them to listen to our programs or read some of our material, I think our latest newsletter really should wake some people up.
Yeah. Well, anyway, some of the people I'm talking to, at least one thing good has happened with them that I'm seeing as far as reaction to 911. It's at least made them more acutely aware that tomorrow is promised to no one.
Well, I think that, you know, the most significant thing, Steve, is that we're going to war with Saddam Hussein because, of course, he may have chemical or biological weapons. And that we gave him the chemical and biological weapons. So maybe what we ought to be doing is going after the people who gave the wicked Saddam Hussein chemical or biological weapons. And any of our listeners out there who would like the article out of the Washington Times that covers that recently, now there's a great deal of material up on Joyce Riley's webpage. She has the entire Regal report. It's at GulfWarVets.com, I think it is. We carry a book, an inexpensive book. It's entitled Against All Enemies by Seymour Hersh, written probably 6 or 8 years ago, going to the fact that we gave Saddam Hussein all of these things. But if you'd like a free copy of that article out of the Washington Times, that we gave Saddam Hussein these weapons, and now we're going to go to war with him, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Do you have anything else you want to say, Steve?
Well, a lot of the people that I'm trying to wake up on this are very hostile. They believe that, they tell me that God's in control.
Well, why don't you hang on, because I want to approach that, but I'm going to take a quick break. You hang on, will you, Steve?
Okay.
All right, right now, of course, this is the time when I have to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and believe me, it's a big financial undertaking to do what we do. We're now heard on 50 outlets across America every week. Now, some of them, it's just half an hour a week, and our Saturday programs are heard on 32, 33 stations. We're taking on a new station, and that'll give us Seattle, Portland, and Northern California with San Francisco, Southern California with Los Angeles every Saturday. We're into Washington, D.C. We're into Augusta, Atlanta, Georgia. But quite frankly, we need your help. We're on a lot of good stations and great stations. But, of course, we can't do it without you. And some people are really hurting financially, and I know that. You know, some of our people have called in and just said the stock market has wiped out their income. But others of you can't afford, and if you can't afford, you know, to join the Radio Liberty family or even to subscribe to our newsletter, we'll appreciate it. And you do that by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Of course, if you'd like to subscribe to our newsletter, it's $25 a month. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, it's $20 pardon me, it's $25 a year for the newsletter. It's $20 a month for the join the Radio Liberty family. You get our four best tapes of the month. You get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, why you're helping us reach out across America with the truth. Information that people are not going to get elsewhere. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, it's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Tell people about our website at radioliberty.com, where you can hear our programs or link to them 5 hours a day. And, of course, you're welcome to pull down the programs. You're welcome to pull down the newsletters and copy those, www.radioliberty.com. Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, we have on the line Steve from Orange County, and Steve has been with us many, many times before. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Some people prefer that 888 number with the 245-4237. That's 888-245-4237. But, of course, Steve, just before we went to the break, had brought up what is brought up so often. Don't you believe in God's sovereignty? Don't you believe that God is in control? Well, you know, the response to that, Steve, I say, well, do you really believe that? Oh, yes, I believe that. Well, why do you have, health insurance? Why do you have health insurance? I mean, when you get a stomach ache and you think it's appendicitis, why do you go to the doctor? I mean, why do you have any insurance, life insurance, to take care of your family if you die? I mean, don't you believe in the sovereignty of God? And, of course, tragedy, there's a great deal of hypocrisy out there. I believe in God's sovereignty. I believe that God created the heaven and the earth. But I also believe that he put us here for a purpose. And that wonderful, wonderful story, Jesus tells the parable of the master who gave one servant as he was going away. The master was leaving. He gave one servant 5 talents, one servant 3 talents, and one servant 1 talent. At least that's there's several descriptions of it, but that's the one I always remember: the 5, 3, and 1.
Yep.
And then, of course, when the master returned, why, of course, he rewarded the servants who had done well with what they'd been given. But the third servant, who did absolutely nothing, was, of course, chastised, and even the 1 talent was taken away from him and
yep.
given to the others.
But I think you should know that I don't limit myself to Orange County. I try to wake up my grandpa in Los Angeles County, my uncle in Hawaii, on the Isle of Maui, and my brother in Wisconsin, and they all are in denial. And I even challenged my brother to call my brother in Wisconsin to call you sometime and tell him.
Well, why don't you just try to get him to listen to the program? The thing is that, what they believe is what they've been taught in church, and they've been taught a false gospel. 50 years ago, Luciferians infiltrated our seminaries. And, of course, they changed the message of the gospel. Had the founding fathers of America believe the way... Steve, your telephone isn't... Pardon me, your radio isn't on, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, fine. If our founding fathers had believed the way that the current ministers believe, we would still be British subjects. There never would have been a revolution. And they say, oh, well, they shouldn't have had a revolution, you know, because, of course, they should have obeyed the king that God put him in power. Well, God must have taken him out of power. Then God must have wanted the revolution because it succeeded. And so how can you explain the fact that the revolution succeeded if God did not want it to occur? And I believe that God did want it to occur. I think if you read the stories, you know, how God time and time and time again intervened with weather and really truly miraculous things that allowed the revolution to succeed, because there's no way that a small ragtag group of people, you know, fighting the greatest military might in the world at that time, which was Great Britain, could have succeeded. And the way that the fog surrounded the Long Island when George Washington evacuated his troops, you know, in the middle of the night, you know, and time again, certainly what happened on Christmas Eve, when, of course, Washington crossed the Delaware, or what happened at Valley Forge. But, you know, God, I believe, wanted this country because we truly were blessed by God. But, of course, the forces of evil have always been here. And the major thing was to neutralize the good people, to neutralize the Christian church, and boy, have they done a good job of it. And as our last speaker spoke of, this idea of, well, we're all going to be out of here before anything bad happens. But, well, if that's happening, why isn't God intervening for the people in communist China today? There are almost 80 million Christians who live in constant fear of being captured and taken off and sent to the concentration camps and prison camps, where they may very well be executed or tortured, or you know, their organs taken and sold on the Chinese market there. You know, but why doesn't God intervene over there? Well, he is intervening. He's allowing the church to grow. But, of course, they aren't going to be raptured out of here before terrible things happen to them, because terrible things have happened to them, and they happened because of the policies of the wicked people who controlled our government, who brought the communists to power in China. And any of you who doubt that, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the McCarran Committee report. And this was the Senate Investigating Committee about 1952, wanted to know why communism came to China. It came to China because our State Department put an arms embargo on General Chiang Kai-shek, so he couldn't buy weapons anywhere in the world. And when the Congress appropriated money for weapons for him, why, the Senate refused to send them to him. And when the weapons finally did arrive and the cases of rifles were opened, there weren't any bolts in the rifles, and they were useless. We brought communism to China. We brought the terrible, terrible suffering to the Chinese people because we didn't want them to have an opportunity for democracy or representative government, because we didn't want any competition with the people who controlled our country, because our country was to lead the world into the New World Order. There are evil and wicked people. What we need to do is reclaim our Christian heritage. What we need to do is stand for righteousness and be the beacon, the city on the hill, the hope of all nations of the world, rather than the oppressor of nations throughout the world. But Steve, just keep trying in a nice way. Just ask the questions. Ask them how they feel about going into a war. If they are willing to go over to fight in Iraq, or send their sons to fight in Iraq or Syria or Saudi Arabia, how are they going to feel when there's violence in the streets of America? Maybe it'll take that before people begin waking up, because the information we have is that the government's already planning on mass disruption of our society. They're already planning on relocation camps for millions of Americans. And if you doubt that, go up on the FEMA website and you'll find out that they put out contracts for $300 million just to get a contract for somebody to plan the multiple tent cities they intend to put up, not in Afghanistan, not over in Indonesia, right here in America. What do they know that we don't know? Just ask the questions, Steve. Don't get discouraged. You can do is try, and if they don't listen,
it's not too late unless we say so.
Amen. But remember, if they don't listen, their blood is on their hands. You've done your best. Anything else you want to say?
Well, I tried to use Valley Forge. I tried to say, remember Valley Forge, to somebody I will not name who is very defeatist, pessimistic, and it didn't work.
All right. Well, you just keep trying, and you just keep your eyes focused on the Lord and keep sounding the message of truth.
Okay.
God bless you.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Well, that was Steve calling from Orange County, and he's down there. And then we have people out all across America. And then so often people will say to me, I keep trying to tell people, and they don't listen. And then I'll get a letter from somebody who's saying, you know, I didn't know anything was wrong in the world until about 6 months ago, and I read your book, or I listened to one of your programs, and, you know, this has changed my whole outlook. This has brought me into a personal relationship with the Lord. And so that's all we can hope to do. We're not going to change the course of the world, but we're called upon to try. And we hope that many of you out there will, of course, want to join in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. Because God expects us to be involved. I mean, we're not simply here to do absolutely nothing. Or as one of a very close minister friend of mine once told me, most Christians are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. They worship the ground their head's buried in. And he recognized this in the people, and he loved them. But, you know, it was simply that, and even he would love to have spoken out. But, of course, the board of deacons in his own church wouldn't allow him to speak out on many of the issues that he had liked to have spoken out on. But God love him. He loved the Lord, and he was so concerned about what was happening. And much of what I know, you know, much of my theological background, I owe to him. Because every Tuesday or Thursday morning for 9 years, he came to the hospital to teach us and a small group of other doctors, because most doctors don't need God. I mean, after all, they're pretty close to God. They do all these miraculous things. And the only doctors that ever really did come to embrace Christianity, at least during the course of their professions, if they weren't already Christians, were those who had a personal crisis in their life and suddenly realized that we don't create our own destiny. Our destiny is created, at least in part, by the Lord, and so we have a part to play, but in the final analysis, why it's going to be up to him. But so basically, not very many doctors are Christians today, but our job is to reach as many of them as we possibly can. And as times grow worse, and they are going to grow worse, we are entering the most difficult financial times that this country has ever seen, I believe. And, of course, if you think that the pendulum is going to swing back, well, don't hold your breath. Because once we lose our freedom in this country, once we lose our free enterprise system, why, of course, America will cease to be great. Because America has ceased to be good. Well, this is the time, of course, we have to ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival in this country, because that, of course, is the one thing that could turn America around. And lastly, we ask you to remember to pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be, let me just mention, we're going to be having a meeting at the Aptos Seascape. It's going to be on the 23rd of November. It's going to be an all-day meeting. And it's going to open, doors are going to open at 8 in the morning, and of course it's going to go until 5 o'clock in the evening, and we're going to have some wonderful speakers, and we're going to tell you how, what you really need to do to begin to prepare for what lies ahead. And so we ask you to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and we hope that you'll sign up. There's going to be luncheon. There's going to be a syllabus. Again, the number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's the 23rd of November, a Saturday, all-day meeting at the Aptos Seascape. And, of course, we'll get you a map to tell you how to get there. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Mom!